Hey everyone, welcome back to Buzzworthy. I'm your host, Schleicy Harris. I dive into the rare stories entrepreneurs tell about building their businesses, but most importantly, themselves. Let's get into it. Hello everyone, welcome back to Buzzworthy. I am in the main stage rehearsal studio with our guests today. Oh my God, Anita, what's your last name?
Grant.
Grant!
Anita Grant,
the founder of Hello Hair. And if you have not heard about Hello Hair as yet, you are missing out. So just Google it after this episode. But Anita's going to go into, you know, her incredible journey, which we are going to touch on. So what do you think, Anita, set you up to be an entrepreneur?
I will say it's definitely my parents. Mm-hmm. Heavily my dad, and just watching the two of them hustle.
Wow.
From a really young age, my dad's a producer, so loves music. My mom loves to cook, and they used to go to events, clubs, after when we were resting, but we knew everything.
Yeah.
Mom was cooking up the food and dad was DJing, and they were just out there hustling. And something that my dad always instilled in us is, even if we go to school, education was like, you had to go to school.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
No options.
But you needed to have ownership. You need to have your own outside of that. So you can go and do any profession, but make sure how you're building your own practice out of that. How you're going to manage your own business out of that. Like, make sure there's another source of income that you can control.
Yeah.
And I grew up we grew up poor. I'm going to be honest. We were in public housing for most of my life. But something that my dad always did is we used to drive down Lakeshore. We used to drive down Oakville, Burlington, and he's like, this could all be yours.
Wow.
He said, don't limit what you see to the potential and opportunities that are out there. So just because we live in this public house, little small complex, this home could be yours as well. You know, and I think we used to do it every weekend. It was like, it was ingrained in me just driving up. And I think that just sparked that mindset. Mm-hmm. I think before anything, it was just like, you need to have a growth mindset. You need to have an expansive mindset and believe like anything you want is yours.
Yeah.
So when it came to entrepreneurship, there was two options for me. I was either going to be a teacher or I was going to be an entrepreneur. And I knew that even before, during elementary school, probably around grade six.
Okay.
I made up my mind. I was like, those are the two. So for, you know, how you have to do your volunteer hours?
Yes, your 40 hours.
Your 40 hours. I actually did mine in grade eight. So before I even went to grade nine, I did my volunteer hours as a literacy and numeracy tutor with my favorite French teacher. And I yelled at a student in a way that you can probably hear in my voice. It still guts me. It hurts me so much. And I was like, oh my goodness, Anita, maybe teaching is not for you. Yeah. And it was at that very moment that I said, okay, I'm going to take entrepreneurship seriously. Mm-hmm. Even though I was super duper shy, I didn't know how I was going to get there. But I just truly believe it was that mindset that some way, somehow, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know what industry. I didn't know what type of business. Mm-hmm. I just knew I wanted to be a boss.
Yeah.
That's it.
And how old would you have been in grade eight? Like 14?
Yeah, 13. Yeah. I'm a late baby. So yeah, 13. Okay. I was 12. Yeah, I graduated. Yeah, 12, 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is such a pivotal moment. And I think even going back to your dad,
yes,
just taking you on a drive and allowing you to dream.
Yes.
Right? Like, dream while you're awake.
Yes.
And I think that's something that we don't have a lot of time for, because we're so busy consuming everybody else's dream, yes, or version of a dream, or, you know, just a fictitious kind of thing.
Right.
And maybe this is one of the reasons, you know, kids need to stay off social media.
Yes.
So they can dream a little bit.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I just think, like you said, very fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have those times just to be yes, present and just to see and not have to always be in the do. And it was actually this weekend timely that me and my partner, we decided we were going to do nothing yesterday. Like, we literally did absolutely nothing. The house was upside down. We're like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because right now we're just going to be, you know what I mean? We took the kids out. We did a walk. It was just so calming and grounding. And I was like, okay, we're making, we're choosing how we're going to enjoy this day instead of having being pulled in all these different directions, right? Yeah. So it really does, dreaming while you're awake really does, you need to make time for that.
Yeah.
It's more than people think, you know, you can't just be a rat race all the time trying to chase something. What are we chasing? We don't even know.
You're chasing those dreams. But like you said, those moments of pause.
Yes.
Pausing is so important. Yeah. One of the entrepreneurs we had on this podcast as well talked about how there was a pause in her life and she had to decide to go forward or, you know, stop being an entrepreneur.
Right.
And that pause brought clarity. Mm-hmm. And that's something we can like insert into our lives on a daily basis, right? Even when the house is upside down. Like that in itself can drive you crazy.
Yeah.
But it's also choosing how you're going to deal with it. And it's in those small little moments that, you know, these bigger things come out.
Yes, you leave room and space to actually see the bigger thing.
Yeah, and that's where creation, innovation happens. It happens in the middle of chaos where there's silence and where everything can just connect naturally.
That's it. Mind, body, soul, everything is all connected. We're hearing it all.
Everything, everything.
Yeah.
So you started out in a place, you know, in public housing. And a lot of people, you know, when you sort of grow up, have a stigma like you're going to be there. There's nothing else outside of that. But I think it's super impactful in what your dad did and allowing you to sort of dream in real life and supporting those goals. What do you think helps build that confidence along with those dreams to say, I'm actually going to go and get it?
Ooh. The conversation about confidence is actually something I'm working on every single day. It is, I've been through a lot, and I would say as much as my dad is like, he pushed me, he's also the one that hurt me the most in a way, you know? And it's just like, I was so long trying to get his validation, seek his validation. And it wasn't until around 2019, during that transition, when my business failed, when I was just trying to figure out who I was, that I realized that I have to give my poor all that love into me.
Back into you, yeah.
Like, I have to be an overflow. And I can't seek anybody, not even my partner. Like, I love him, but, like, he can't fulfill me the way that I can, you know? Yeah. And I don't know. I think it's the day-by-day accomplishments. Like, you know, one time you say, I'll tell you this, where it all started. My business teacher, Miss Marchese, who I love dearly, changed my life. Changed my life.
Did you go to Sir John A?
She taught there first and then went to Softly.
Oh, okay.
Do you know Miss Marchese?
I do. Oh!
Look at Miss Marchese, if you're listening to this, the impact is great. It is profound.
Like, wow.
She changed my life. The first day, so I told you, I had that desire to go to business, but I was very shy. So I actually didn't really talk.
Yeah.
I ran into one of my elementary school friends in my adulthood. They're like, Anita, I thought you were a mute. She said, I didn't know you spoke. Because they're seeing me everywhere. Oh, now I'm just out here.
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't know you could talk. Because I was that shy. Like, it was severely shy, like hindering any type of conversation or opportunity for me at that time. And so, yes, I knew with the mindset in my mind, I knew I wanted to go to school, but in the physical, when you saw, I wanted to go to business school, but the physical, you're like, she could never do this.
Yeah.
And I knew that. That was that bridge that I had to get over. And I signed up for the class because I was like, I wanted to do it. And the first day before, I wouldn't step into the classroom. I went to the door and I said, Miss, will I have to present in this class? And she said, yes. I said, Miss, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to drop your class. And she's like, I don't know you, because she didn't know me yet. She's like, but what I'm telling you is, even if you have to look at the blackboard and your back is towards this class, you are staying in this class and you are going to do it.
Wow.
And it was just because of her, like, she didn't give me an option to quit. She said, I'm going to guide you through this. Whatever way that's going to make you most comfortable to break out of that, I'm here with you. And she didn't know me then. We never had a previous conversation before then. But after that experience, I took my last grade 11 and grade 12 were all business classes, 90 plus, like taking leadership, like doing the presentations, volunteering to be the first to present. Like, I was a whole new woman, person, like, after my experience with Marchese. And after that moment, that's, it's like those little milestones, like reflecting on, I started this course, this class, terrified to ever speak. And here I am leading conversations, volunteering conversations. Yeah. I think over time, I just started to really celebrate the small wins. It's celebrating myself through these little, little, little milestones. And that is something that continues to help me build that confidence.
Yeah.
Because there are new spaces that I walk into. I'm like, oh, is it for me? But when I actually just trust myself and give myself grace through it, that's where the confidence comes.
Yeah.
That's the confidence building. It's the exercise of just doing and just being and just taking a chance on self.
Yeah. You know? I absolutely think that is definitely like a small, strong little snippet in building confidence, because it is doing. It's doing something small and knowing it can get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think what Miss Marchese saw in you was the fact that when you even went up to her and asked the question, right? Like, you, if you were truly super shy and just like was terrified, you wouldn't have gone to her. You wouldn't have asked the question.
Yeah.
And that in itself is enough confidence to ask something hard that's going to look bad on you.
Right.
And that you were trying to run away from, and you just needed a hand, which you got.
Yes, that's exactly it. That sums it up perfectly. Yeah.
It's, you know, and that's sometimes, you know, where it's hard to ask for help. And that was an ask for help, very indirectly. And you asked the right person at the right time.
That's it.
Yeah.
The right person at the right time. And you, I didn't even think about that, like the courage to even ask, you know. And I think that was part of that desire, that burning desire that I had to want to get into the entrepreneurial ecosystem. Like, I wanted to get into the business space.
Yeah.
So it was like the battle of the two, but it was because that mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they all, like I'm saying, I'm forever, as painful as some of the experiences have been, I'm grateful for it all.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the painful things that make us incredible people, right?
Yeah.
If you have a life that's super easy, and it's one of the things, I don't know exactly where this comes from, but they talk about generational wealth typically only lasts for about three generations.
Oh.
And it's because by the time it gets to the third generation, there is no real struggle. There is no real fight. Everything has come so easy that money is just like an object and it has no worth anymore because there's no pain attached to it.
Yes.
And so that's just what we do as entrepreneurs, is go through those struggles. So we build that value for what we really have and what we really want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with me, because I did not know that, but it makes absolute sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does.
It, that stuck with me for that exact reason. So when you, now you've decided to go through high school.
Yep.
All business classes, you're on the right path. I mean, there is no direct right path, but you're on a very direct path, a business school. What was next?
Next was spreading my wings and going to university.
Yeah.
And I love Hamilton, but I know I needed to continue to grow. So I needed a new space, a new environment. So I decided to go to Toronto, TMU now.
Yes.
Say the right word. And I loved every single part of my university experience. I lived in Toronto for the first year, and I feel like I could just be myself. I think it was like the birth of Anita Grant, being very authentic and just dressing the way that I want, acting the way that I want, just like redefining who I was. And at second year, I said, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to fast track. I basically didn't take a summer off. Stacked up, did six courses each semester, and I graduated in 3 years. So I fact, 2011, graduated in 2014. And I met one of my best friends actually during that that process of university. And when she heard that I was fast tracking, she's like, I'm joining you. So we ended up, that's why it was easy to fast track, because in the event that I wasn't there, she would be there. Yeah. We took the exact same course schedule. We went through the summer together, and we were just like, okay, we're off to the races. Because I had known, like, school was, I needed to get the real life experience. I just wanted to be an entrepreneur so bad.
Yeah.
So we fast tracked together and we both got a job 10 days out of school. And I remember our final walk down the underground subway station.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want to be in a corporate office with the glass ceilings and, you know, just have my own space with my name on the door. And I said, I want to be running the world, like starting my own business, building it from ground up. And I don't really have an office. I'm everywhere. Right. Yeah. Because I'm an entrepreneur. And 10 days after school, we both got a job in I would say professions that aligned to us, but wasn't like our end goal, but it really just helped us build that structure right away.
Yeah.
Paid off my OSAP in 16 months.
Wow.
Because I was very serious about going to entrepreneurship. And once I paid that off, I quit my job.
Wow.
Didn't know what, didn't know why. My mom thought I was crazy. It was a great job, salary job, benefits. I got to work from home. Like they were ahead of the curve. They were ahead of the curve when it comes to working from home. So I had it made for me. Honestly, it was like, this is so great. But I also know I didn't want to get too comfortable because it was a job that could easily.
You just sit in.
Yes.
And be there for years.
Ever. But the job taught me all that I needed. And it was to close a sale. That was the only thing stopping me. So I went to school for law and business. And I was either going to be a lawyer or an entrepreneur. At that point, it kind of shifted again in the university stage. And because I got the job in sales right away, it was like, hey, this aligns to entrepreneurship, you know? And I built that confidence around asking people for money.
Yeah.
Because if you can't do sales, you can't
build a business. Yes.
Sorry. That's one thing you cannot outsource. You're going to be a salesperson for the first 5 years of your business easily. So once I built that confidence to do so, I was reading a book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Okay, yes, I do know it.
And that was on my desk. And everybody would come to me and be like, what are you reading, the Bible at work? And I was like, because it was like the gold. It was a very special edition. It looked very, very bougie, I guess you could say. but it wasn't the Bible, but it was, what would I say? I'm not going to equate it to a Bible because that's just not it. But
maybe a roadmap for yourself and how to think about like the world and how money moves.
Exactly. Yeah. It didn't allow me to be comfortable in this job. Mm-hmm. It reminded me, like, if you want this greatness, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to build something, you cannot be comfortable and you have to remain true to that burning desire. That desire, again, to build a business was just like, I couldn't hold it back. I just was like, I need to get out. So it was very impulsive. There was a lot of internal work and anxiety and everything built up, not knowing if this is the right decision or not. We're going to regret it. But I said, one thing that's easy is I can get a job.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a degree.
You have skills.
I have skills.
I can sell.
I can sell. Like, I think sales jobs are like, there's endless sales jobs. I said, I can always go back to that. But I'm young. I didn't have kids then at the time. And I wanted to just take a chance on self. So I quit. And I started my first business, Fleeky Beauty, which was well over my head in the tech space, but taught me a lot.
But that's goal. That's like audacity, you know? And that's what we need as entrepreneurs is that, like, we're going to go do something we know nothing about.
That's it.
And make it happen.
Yeah. And give yourself grace to learn through it. I will say, when I was building Fleeky, just for context, it's a beauty tech startup. So it basically, my sister's a hairstylist, incredible, but she didn't have the business management or acumen aspect, okay? And that's something that I genuinely loved. So I would always support her. And I realized she's not the only one. You know, there's a lot of people that are doing hairstyling, nail techs, whatever, but in the basement of their home or like in a really small shop. And it's generally all word of mouth.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be able to provide them with that business management back end, and then also a marketplace for clients to discover them.
Yeah.
And it started off very, very well. Like, it took off really well. A lot of press. We got funding.
Awesome.
I had a strong-ish team to kind of get us there. And I don't know. I was on this high, and then everything just kind of crumbled. Like, everything. It was just like, just slapped in the face, just crumbled.
Wow.
From the developer seeing a different side of him.
Okay.
To the money that I got funded was being burned by, I'm going to take accountability because it's my fault. Yeah. But there was an ask of compensation that I thought was good, but I realized I was way overpaid. Like she was very well compensated, which didn't equate to the work that we were doing. Right. Okay. But I was just, I wanted someone to be on the team with me for long term. That's really was my mindset. Right.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to invest in this person. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with making an investment that doesn't pay out, right? Because you learn from it, right?
That's it.
And that's the learnings you're taking into your other business.
You have to sometimes go through it all, and it's going to be painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always a bed of roses. But yeah, so I had to go through that experience. And then the biggest, what really broke the business was COVID.
Yeah.
The beauty industry got hit significantly, and it just took a great deal of time for it to kind of get things moving again. And the thought of people paying for a service again after just depleting, you know, losing so much opportunity and money through the COVID shutdowns, I said, this is too exhausting for me. And it impacted my mental health to the point that, like, I had the developer issues, I had the economic issues, I had the realities of we're going through COVID, and I'm here still at the very beginning trying to build this platform up. Yeah. And I made a tough decision. I decided that I was going to dissolve it. And I never told anybody. The Fleeky page is still live.
Oh, what?
Because I still don't have the courage to, like, make an announcement. It's so bad. It's still, like, I'm still working through it. Let's just say that. I'm still working through it.
It takes time.
But through that work through, we're home, right?
Yeah.
So I really get to, like, process everything. I had the time and space to do so. And that's when I reflected on who Anita Grant is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who am I outside of Fleeky? Who am I outside of a label, as a title, as a status? Who am I? When people asked, when people are checking in on me, like, how's Fleeky doing? I'm like, but who's asking, how's Anita doing?
Yeah.
No one was asking that. And I just felt like a failure because Fleeky failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to rediscover myself.
Yeah.
And my hair became the catalyst to my rediscovery. It was me for the first time, like, just taking out, like, all of my, the weaves, the extensions, like, all the extra things out there,
mm-hmm.
and just getting to know me, like, in my authentic, purest ways.
Wow.
And I started to love my hair. I started to, like, love myself. I felt liberated. I felt free. I felt light. I felt like me.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was 27. I'm like, I've never felt like this ever in my life. And I'm this big age. I'm just experiencing this. And it was that same time that I was also welcoming my first child, my daughter, Tiana.
Aww.
And once we had the gender reveal and we found out it was having a girl, right away, the first thought was hair. Like, all I could think about is, like, that's my responsibility. Because we thought we were having a son up until that day. So we're like, barbershop, dad's gonna take him, blah, blah, blah. You know, when you just have those intuitions, the families are guessing this family's gonna be a boy versus a girl. And once we found out we're having a daughter, I was like, right away, hair. It just came to me, hair. And I got excited, but also a little bit scared. So I'm like, I'm still working through my
own hair.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew a lot of my lack of confidence in myself was rooted in my lack of relationship with my hair. As crazy as it, like, I realized it wasn't just hair.
Yeah.
Even, like, today, like, this week, I have crochet in. And, like, I'm, like, I have a burning desire to touch my hair. Mm-hmm. Because I'm feeling disconnected from myself right now. I'm going through some things. And the only thing that can bring me back is, I just need to touch my hair. I need to rub my scalp. I need to, like, actually be in it.
Mm-hmm.
For me to feel like, okay, here we are, Anita, let's talk, like, let's ground ourselves.
It's I was just gonna say, it's like a grounding activity for yourself.
It's so deep, and I'm like, what? But no, I just knew how great I felt. I'm like, I need my daughter to feel this at the earliest age.
Mm-hmm.
I need her to see her beauty. I need her peers to see how beautiful she is.
Yeah.
And it was just a children's book at that point. I kind of shrunk the idea of being like this big entrepreneur. It was just like, I just wanted to live. I was at a point like I just wanted to be. I just wanted to just enjoy life. And everybody says authors don't make money. And I didn't care.
Yeah.
For the first time, I didn't care. You know, before I wanted to be a multimillionaire. Now I'm like, I'm just going to write a book.
I'm doing this because it's a creative expression for myself.
Yes.
And I think when you look at your journey going through Flaky, having to shut a business down, and trust me, I understand when you say, I don't want to tell anybody.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yes.
I had an online business. I sold like purses, vegan leather purses, okay, and chokers and accessories and scarves.
Yes.
And I told everybody about it when I first started.
Yes.
And then it stopped. Nobody asked. I didn't have to tell. But it's a part of you because you pour so much into you. And I think especially for your very first venture, it's you and that venture are one.
Yes.
That venture is criticized, torn down, all of this. This is a direct reflection on you.
Yes.
And which isn't actually true because you are two entities, but that's just a reality of how we exist and feel, right? It's essentially almost like your very first child, right?
I always say that. That was my first baby.
Yeah.
This is my first baby.
Yeah.
Because you're learning so much and you're just so intertwined with it. You know, you can't really separate from it.
No.
We're nursing all the time.
Always. Yeah. Always. You go to bed, it's always on your mind. Like, what is the real difference between building a business and being a parent?
Yes.
Yeah.
I literally always compare it to the two.
I love that.
And I say to remind yourself, like as you would do with your kid, when they make mistakes, you're going to say, it's okay to make mistakes, right? That's how you grow. But when we become an adult, you failed. And then you're scrutinized. And then that becomes like you're incompetent.
Yeah.
Let's reframe that. You know, because I feel like if we give each other either Nelson Mandela, always go back to it, either we win or we learn.
Yeah, we never fail.
We never fail.
Yeah.
And if you can adopt that mindset in anything you do, like you can reflect on the lessons that are to come through those quote unquote failures.
Mm-hmm.
Take the lessons from it. You have to grow through it.
Yeah.
God is preparing you for something. So 100%. You have to endure.
Yeah.
But you're always going to come through.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. I think it's, I love that you talk about that story and then being able to separate yourself and really redefine who Anita Grant was. I think that's so, so pivotal. Because then you sort of stripped yourself down to the core that allowed you to like actively and consciously rebuild who you are and who you want to be and why entrepreneurship drove you so, so dearly and so much is because like innately you're just a creator.
Yes.
Like you just want to put something out in the world that's different, that is a reflection of you and no longer actually you.
Yes.
And that is, I think that's incredible because I think a lot of people, you know, take on such a big burden when something doesn't work out. But then it's a redirection.
Yes.
And we can't see that in the moment.
Right.
And I always trust if this is for me, like, let it come back to me. Yep. If not, let it go. Yes. And that's exactly what you did. And, you know, the first thing coming into your mind, like hair and then becoming an author.
Yes.
And how did, you know, becoming an author really shape how Hello Hair started to evolve?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, tell us about the book. Tell us about the book first.
Okay. What's Hello Hair?
Yes. What is Hello Hair? And why are we saying hello?
The first slogan was learn, love, and build a relationship with your crown.
Mm.
And heavy on the relationship. What is a relationship? It can be challenging. It can be complex. It can be good. It can be bad. Like, there's so much things that happen when you think about relationships and what's needed to make it a healthy relationship, right? But Hello Hair started off 100 different hairstyles inspired by some of the black hair magazines that I grew up on, Essence, Hyper, Sophisticates. I wanted that. Where did I first see the versatility of black hair? It was through those magazines.
Yeah.
So I wanted to maintain and pay homage to that culture, that iconic publication in our community. And then also, you know, add animated twist for the youth, right? So illustrated characters, Tiana, Tamia, Jade, and Liz, they go on a journey to the hair salon and they realize they think that they don't have many styles to wear. And the stylist gives on this book. So we open this book and we go through all the beautiful hairstyles. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just, like I said, for my daughter and her peers to see the beauty and versatility of her hair. And because of my background in business, there was an opportunity to virtually pitch.
Yeah.
And I just, it wasn't, it was a different mindset I was going into than what I would have went through with Fleeky. Mm-hmm. It was not, I didn't care to win.
Okay.
I just wanted to get feedback. It was, I just wanted to feel it out. I wanted to see how the, how would the community
respond
to this, right? And when I tell you, like, the chat was blowing up. What's next? How can we help? This is amazing. When can I buy it? This is, like, it was just like, do you, are you looking for investors? I'm like, I didn't even launch the book yet. It was literally just
an idea.
The concept stage. Wow. We were in illustration still. So it took about 2 years to illustrate. 2020, when I was expecting my child, I engaged with the illustrator, but we didn't get to launch until 2022.
Wow.
Because it was 100 illustrations back and front, very detail oriented. So
a labor of love.
Labor of love. And I can't take credit for it because I cannot draw for the life of me. But no, it was, it just shifted my mindset at that moment that, like, oh my gosh, like, this book could actually, like, be a brand, could actually be like a movement, is more powerful than I even knew, you know? Yeah. And at that moment, it was like, as I'm building this through, I'm like, this is not just like a passion, like business is a passion, but I feel like this is my purpose. Mm-hmm. I feel like God's given me this purpose. And the sequence of events that happened after that, I was like, oh, this is not me. This is above me. Because the first published PR to pick up Hello Hair was Forbes.
Wow.
And it was all cold emails. All I did was made an email list. I want people to know about the launch of the book. So once again, the book is not out yet. Mm-hmm. This is all pre-order. And I just want people to know about the book. So I just did a cold email list, found people who wrote about natural hair or black hair in this space or kids, and just sent them a bunch of emails, did a couple follow-ups. And once I heard Forbes respond, I was like, I literally just looked at it and closed the laptop. This is a joke. Someone's playing with me. It took me like a day to actually respond. And she's like, do you want to meet next week? I said, next week? No. What? Is this real? And that kind of just set the trajectory. People like actually started taking me seriously. I started taking myself seriously.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, this is. And it wasn't about the money. It was about the impact.
Yes.
It was like, oh my gosh, I can actually share this feeling that I had of like rediscovering who I was. And everybody can experience that. Mm-hmm. And people don't have to unheal. They can just grow, raise, be raised like that to love themselves. You know what I mean? It's our crown. It's beautiful. You know, it took me 30 years, but I shouldn't have to take this next generation 30 years.
No.
You know? So, yeah, I can't. It's so funny because I've been this last couple of weeks, I've really just been trying to figure out myself and like even take credit for some of the stuff that's happened with Hello Hair, because I sometimes don't really.
It's still unbelievable to
It's still unbelievable.
Yeah, you just need to
pinch myself. Like, I'm doing the work every single day, but it's a lot easier, even if I compare it to Fleeky. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier, you know what I mean? And it's a lot more. They're steps, but they're like huge steps. Like, they're big steps that are happening through every, and all I have to do is just be.
Yeah. And it just happens.
It just happens. And I'm just reminded, like, no matter what, like, when I'm not feeling like myself, that's why I've taken all this hair. Like, I got to touch my hair. I know when I'm just in tune with me.
Yeah.
That's when goodness happens around. That's enough.
Wow.
That's enough.
Because you've clearly learned to trust yourself and trust everything that's like happening around you. And You don't have this need for control. And do you see that difference between Fleeky, trying to like grasp every string to make sure this puppet is saying the right thing at the right time? And with Fleeky, you're just like, do what you want to do.
Yeah. Ask my ex co-founder. She would call me crazy. I was a control freak with Fleeky. I was a terrible person. I'm gonna hold myself accountable and just call it out to me now. I'm sorry. I love you. We're still best friends.
Love the apology. Love
it. No, I tried to be in control of everything.
Yeah.
I tried to do it. I couldn't delegate. I couldn't build a team. I was micromanaging. Mm-hmm. A lot of anxiety. I couldn't even enjoy anything outside of Fleeky. It consumed me. My friend, my partner, like, can we talk about something else? But I'm like, gotta do this. I gotta do that. I was like a slave to Fleeky, like my laptop. I was in overdrive, overworked, burnt out. But this is what I thought I had to do to reach that level of success that I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I felt guilty sleeping. I'm like, sleeping's for the dead.
A week.
You don't have time to sleep. There's always something to do.
Yeah.
And there is still everything, something to do with Hello Hair too. But I know it's going to get done in time and I'm not going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel refreshed. There's going to be joy associated with that. And I feel like when that emotion of like, okay, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling happy, it translates in the work that you create.
100%.
People know when there's chaos. Yes. Behind the scenes.
People know when there's chaos.
You can't hide it.
Yeah. You can't. You absolutely can't. And I've learned this personally in the last 6 months.
Mm.
And the second you see my Instagram is full of all the baking goods that I'm baking and cooking.
Yes.
It means that I'm actually trying to figure something out. But I have to step away from that thing.
Right.
And do something that actually brings me joy. And believe it or not, all my problems now are solved in the kitchen.
I actually love your content in the kitchen. I'm like, can I order? Do you meal prep? Once a week. No, I love it. I love it. And honestly, it reminds me I got to feed myself. I got to nourish myself.
Yeah.
You have to pour in yourself. And like you said, like your most creativity will come when you have room and space to be creative.
Yeah.
When you're full with so much other noise, and a lot of it's just noise.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really change anything in the business.
Correct. Changes it for the worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make bad decisions because you can't see through the chaos.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So rest. And I'm saying this, but I'm still working through it. So it's okay if you haven't arrived. just give yourself some grace. Just try, you know, because it does open up so much more.
Mm-hmm. And with Hello Hair, you know, from that one pitch that you just decided to do. This is a concept.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people go and start building a business without even talking to anyone, without knowing, is the demand actually here? And before you even really did a whole lot, like you said, you were in a conceptual phase. People are usually scared to say anything about their ideas at that time.
Yeah.
Like, what made you say the risk is worth it to just say something? Pitch to an audience.
Huh. That's a great question, because I definitely am that perfectionist person that in Fleeky, I would have waited till it'd be final to really share. I think it was the mindset that it wasn't from the lens of building a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I wanted people to know about this because I want everybody to feel this way. It was more so like I wanted to make an impact in their lives, whether they did that for me or not. Like I wasn't expecting anything back. Let's just say that. There was no expectations. It was simply like, this book, I want to impact that little young girl in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted them to see themselves in this book.
Yeah.
And it just happened. Because I think that desire, that love for entrepreneurship was like, this is a platform that I'm comfortable with. I pitched a lot with Fleeky. I knew it was a Black focused pitch event as well. So I know it's my community and the people that I wanted to reach with the book. So it was very specific, very tailored. And it was just like, I want you to know, and I want to share this with the world.
Yeah.
Whether I get anything back or not. I ended up winning the People's Choice Award. I didn't have one friend. Not one friend knew that I was doing this pitch. I didn't know anybody in that room.
Wow.
But it was just like, oh my goodness. And I think, once again, why I built that business was that same, that desire of entrepreneurship. Like, maybe this is it. But once again, it wasn't about the money. It was about the impact.
Yeah.
It was about, like, I think for the first time in my life, I got to see myself.
Yeah. And you're driven in a different way.
Yeah.
The motivation's different. Yeah.
Different. Very different.
I think we see that in businesses. And I talked about it. I really need to work on my references and where I get them from. But, you know, a lot of, like, businesses founded by women mm-hmm. end up being more successful, more profitable. Mm-hmm. They last so much longer
right.
Over time versus, you know, typically when men build businesses, they build fast, they scale fast, they fail fast
right.
kind of thing. And I think that could be probably maybe one of the differences we see mm-hmm. Is that the purpose behind what you're building is just driven in a different way.
Yes.
And so you care for it in a different way and you make more intentional and you actually like nurture the business in its way versus like treating it like a paper plane. You just like fold it up real quick and you shoot it off.
Seriously.
Let it fly and it's only gonna ever go so far. Mm-hmm.
That is exactly it. And if you look at my packaging, it's absolutely horrendous. It's 3 years in, guys. We're 3 years. The packaging is terrible.
Yeah.
My branding is not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that my messaging, but like when it comes to like the visuals, there's no consistency there.
Yeah.
And that's something that I would have like to the T with Sleeky. I was like, you need to follow this brand guideline. You cannot go to this. You very, very structured.
Yeah.
But something that's done differently with Hello Hair is the community's building it.
Yeah.
The community's telling me what they want and I'm just building accordingly.
Yeah.
Like it's going to actually be year 3, July. You're going to actually see, I don't want to say rebrand.
Yeah.
But I want to say like Hello Hair is going to bloom.
Yes.
We're going to bloom. Like the seeds that we planted, the seeds that the community helped us plant, we knew our foundation, but now the world's going to see it all. You know what I mean? Like we're actually coming out. And that is 3 years later.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't rush this.
Mm-hmm.
I took the time. We listened. We validated. We tested. Some things failed. You know, some things were like, we're not going that route. But we gave ourselves the opportunity to try. And it's far from perfection.
Mm-hmm.
It's very far. It is. When you look at the accolades relative to like the brand,
yeah.
You're like, how is she doing that? And I'm like, and I think it's that the purpose in it, you know, it's the people can tell.
It comes through.
Yeah.
It comes through. And I think in a world, especially I think where AI is reigning.
Yes.
There's a different level of authenticity that you can feel through brands that are built in a different way.
Yes.
And my humble opinion is those are the companies that are truly going to thrive in the future
mm-hmm.
because yes, AI can like learn us. Mm-hmm. And I think AI has an absolute place in society, especially in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
But that authenticity, that purpose, the way things are curated from a real human understanding is going to separate. And I think that's what the community that Hello Hair has created is launching itself on, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So beautifully said. That is it. That is it.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you know, cold email to Forbes,
mm-hmm.
massive publication.
Yeah.
When you curated the listen, you added, you know, a media house like Forbes on your list. Like, I know you said you had no expectations, but like, even the fact that you even put them on the list.
Mm. Okay.
Why? Yeah. Why'd you put them on the list?
I think I had, after the failure with Fleeky, failure quotes. Always in quotes. And COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two, I think the time was just like so perfect. for me to dissolve the business and also experience, like, I don't want to say it because COVID was very traumatic. It was a lot. And I know it affected everybody differently. But for me, one lesson that I took from COVID is that we are all just people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care about your status. I don't care about your title. I don't care about, like, where position you sit. I don't care the level of successes. You are a human being.
Yeah.
All of us were impacted and affected by COVID and the restrictions that came with it. And that's after that situation, that was the biggest lesson for me. I didn't fear anything or anybody. I never diminished myself thinking that who am I as this, at that point I had nothing. Who am I? Knocking on the doors of Forbes, knocking on the CEO, connecting with that person on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Who am I? I never positioned myself like that ever again.
Yeah.
Who am I not to?
Yeah.
They're just human beings. They're just like me. So I think it was having the courage, and I didn't fear rejection. I said the worst thing they could do is say no or not answer.
Yeah.
We get that every day.
So what?
Like, that happens on a regular. Yeah. But, like, what if they answer? Mm-hmm. What if they say yes?
Yeah.
You know? And that's something that I wanted to try. And so, once again, that confidence building, right? Yes. I'm going to try. So I actually said, when I created that email list, I said, I'm going to try and do the outreach before I hire somebody. Mm-hmm. One of the lessons is, yes, I said, who am I not to, because I am enough. But also through Fleeky, I burnt a lot of money outsourcing stuff.
Yeah.
Before me even trying. Mm-hmm. So those were two lessons with Hello Hair. What I said I was going to do is, I'm going to try every task. I'm going to try first. And if I'm unsuccessful, then I will hire outside help.
Yeah.
And that's why my team is so incredibly tiny, because we've been doing a lot of it in-house. We're trying, and it's sticking. It's working, you know? I think it was those two lessons for me. It was, why not? Forbes is big. I would love to be on Forbes. I always dreamed of being, me and my brother had a competition when we were way younger, because he's also the business minded. He's like, who's going to get on Forbes third under 30 first? And, I got the Forbes article when I was 27, and it wasn't Forbes third under 30, but it was a whole write-up in my image at the top. Mm-hmm. And I said, maybe God's saying, think bigger.
Yeah.
At that moment, I was like, I could be a part of the list, or I could
be a whole feature. Yeah.
Step into your light. Mm-hmm. And I think that at that whole moment, that just set the tone of Hello Hair and set the tone of how I view myself through this journey. And I actually want to give myself some roses. Like, it's okay, Anita. Like, you deserve this. Because that's something I've always battled with. So, yeah, that's...
You've done the work. And I... and in all of your stories, and this is why I love sitting and, like, speaking with entrepreneurs so much, is because, like, there's so much wisdom in the stories. There's, like, reflections that you have already come to, and, like, you're still coming to every single day. And if someone's listening to this podcast thinking, well, who am I to, you know, reach out and say, you know, feature me in this. This is what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. Right. You know, who's to say that a yes isn't coming on the other side of that? And one of the other things I think is a really big learning is when you do a task, because you used to outsource a lot of things with Fleeky, when you do a task yourself, you actually understand it better. So when it's time to actually hire somebody to do that task,
You know
what it entails.
Yes.
You know if they're overcharging you.
Yes.
You know all of these things that you would have had zero context of before.
Yep.
And that's why entrepreneurs are such great generalists. It's because they're willing to try every and anything.
Yes.
And you either find out you're good at it or you're not, or you learn how to hire the right person to do it.
But you always learn something, right?
You always learn something, You always
learn something.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. Because I think hiring team is really, really challenging.
Yeah.
But because I've done the work, I know exactly what I'm looking for. I know how to create a job description and then also leave space for their own creativity and autonomy to add, contribute more, you know? But yeah, that is so true. You have to, you have to go through it, you know, and you always grow through it.
Yeah.
I don't want to grow. Isn't that exciting? Like,
It's but, like, show me someone that had a super easy life and like how confident they are, how successful they are, how, you know, happy they are with the things that they've done. Like, because if we have an experience, you know, the bad days, how do we know what a good day really feels like, right?
Yes. I would say, like you said something about if someone's listening, like, do it even when you're not confident.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it when you're not even, when you're not sure. Don't wait for that to get to that destination of like you're full and you're ready, like you've made it. Do it when you're still going through it.
Yeah.
Because I am very much so going through it, and I can feel like I need to do more work to get to that next stage.
Yeah.
And I'm it doesn't take away from anything.
No.
You know, and I feel like I'm on the outside, I may look, oh yeah, I need a gots, I need this good, I need this. I need is doing work every day.
Yeah.
I need is doing work every day to keep myself together, to build myself up, to be able to contribute to this purpose that God has given to me. So there's the self-work never ends.
Yeah.
And the self-love is always continue. You have to be in overflow.
Yeah.
And take that time for yourself, that rest, that like that grace.
Yeah.
That being a student, you're always a student in this journey. And if you remain in that position, then like great things will happen and you won't be in a rush. You can enjoy it. You won't rush past it.
Yeah.
You know, you can enjoy every single part of that journey because that is life. It's not the end. It's the journey.
Yeah. It truly is a journey. Yeah. And your journey continued from Forbes.
Yes.
And then very recently, just last season, on Dragon's Den.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, from an article to national television. Tell us about that. Tell us about, you know, why Dragon's Den? And, you know, what was that experience like for you as a business owner and then for the community as well?
Yeah, Dragon's Den is something, where did I start? Dragon's Den is something I grew up on. Like, we, that's when you didn't have streaming, so you had to sit there at a certain time, 7 o'clock, the family was ready, and we were just watching Dragon's Den. It was, I was always in awe of anybody who had the courage to go in the den. And, you know, with the sound effects, it makes it sound very scary and intimidating when you're watching it. But once again, that deep down, that desire, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur or a teacher, right? And when I watched Dragon's Den, it just excited that like desire to, and that joy and that dream to be an entrepreneur one day. So for me, secretly wanted to do it, but I also knew where I was at that time. Like, not Anita. No, not me. But how did it come about? So crazy enough, I was looking through my phone and I realized I screenshot the audition, to do it in Hamilton in 2022. Okay. I went on in 2023.
Okay.
Is that right? Did I go on
2024.
My goodness. Okay. So I screenshotted it in 2023 and I went on in 2024. The reason why I actually decided to go through was actually not my decision, crazy enough. I saw the auditions come through, as I do every year. I'm on LinkedIn, very active. Nah, maybe next year. You know, I'm not. I'm still too early. At that time, I only had the two books. I was just in the pre-order stage of The Dolls, which is now like taking over the face of Hello Hair. So I'm like, maybe after I launch The Dolls, have some traction with it, a year of sales, then maybe I'll go on for 2025 was really kind of the better route, would make sense. But I actually won a grant from an organization, and a part of that grant, which was very different, and I was more excited about, not the money, it was a mentorship. Because a lot of times that I get funding, grants, I love doing it, so I'm not short of it.
Okay.
Thanks. the grace of God, I want to be. It never changes. So I've gotten money, but I'm like, I need mentorship. I want to learn from people who's been in this space. I don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. I know there's people that can support me through this. Money's not always the answer.
Correct.
So for me, human capital is actually more valuable than financial dollars. Capital. It doesn't it doesn't work that way, because you can blow, I can blow money. Let me tell you. Okay. but I want you to be, once again, more responsible, learning from the fleeky failure.
Yeah.
So I said I wanted to be surrounded with great people. And I was excited to win that for the sake of the mentorship. Mm. Not knowing that this mentorship is the ones who surrounded me, who guided me, who did all the pitch practice with me to go on Dragon's Den. And she said, I said, okay, I'll do it. But I'm only just going to go for press. I'm just going to go get exposure, because I know they're not going to give me a deal. Like, I was making under $100,000 at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're dragons. They're capital investors. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, I need to change your mindset. She's like, we're going to go in there, and we're going to go in there with the intention of getting a deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. And, you know, there's that self-doubt. It was going back and forth. But as we did a lot of coaching. We did a lot of pitch practice. And it's like, I started to see it. I'm like, why not? Why not get the exposure and the money? You know what I mean? Like, we need it. Like, let's go and get it. So yeah, I did a lot of pitch practice with her. And then we went to the auditions, and I just happened to get a judge that also looked like me, because everybody else were Caucasian who may not understand the need or demand of Hello Hair. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's a lottery. So the chances of, you never know who is going to get it.
Okay.
But once I realized I was in front of her, it's like, oh, there's something, something's bigger. This alignment.
It's happening.
I couldn't plan this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm meant to be here. I'm meant to be here. And we had an incredible conversation. And I kid you not, when I left that audition, I said, I'm getting a call back. You know, you just have an energy exchange. He's like, yep, that was it.
You know.
And I never, there was no sleepless nights. There was nothing. I just knew when the call came, it was going to come. And I was ready for it. And the rest is history. I guess you could say the whole journey in itself, to me, the biggest milestone. Do you want me to tell them that what happened, the results?
Yeah.
You guys want to know? Okay.
Tell us.
Okay. So we got the call. We actually did auditions back in May 5th.
Okay.
2024.
Wow.
It didn't air until October. So my lips were sealed. So I was under contract for like 4 months, and I was, it was killing me. But I ended up going with myself, my daughter, and my little sister. Mm-hmm. And my sister was supporting a hairstylist, and my husband was there as well. And when we went on stage, people will often, if you do watch the episode, like, how are you so cool, calm, and collect?
Yeah.
If you knew what happened leading up to that episode, it was absolute madness. My daughter was only 3 at the time. We were there from 7 a.m. We didn't get on set till 1 o'clock. So imagine a little kid in the green room running around. It was absolute chaos. We're walking in. You know that hallway before you go on? I'm doing another pre-interview. There's a lot of pre-interviews. You do a lot of behind the scenes. We're doing another pre-interview. And my daughter's just tapping my leg. Just tapping my leg. And I'm like, do you know, like, I'm trying to do this interview, like, because I didn't want to look down.
Yeah.
And then she, like, does a nice, tough one, like a Charlie horse on my leg. And I look at her, and she's grilling me. Like, her teeth are just out grilling me. She had one tooth that has been dangling from an accident at school for 6 months. I kid you not, it fell out.
At that moment.
Right before we're about to walk on. So she starts panicking. Crying. The producers come in like, can she do it? Can she not? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, hey, calm down. They got O'Brien. And we're like, we're trying to like calm down. And I look at her. I hold her hands like, Tiana, tell me, do you want to do this? Or do you want to go with daddy? And she said, no, mommy. One hand wiped one eye. Other hand wiped the other eye. She put her hand down. She said, I'm ready.
Aww.
And that was the only thing I thought about when I went into the den. If she can do it,
you can do
it. I can do it. That was it. So I didn't even know if I was like, I wasn't even thinking about pitch. It was, and once again, that mindset, like, I didn't care about the pitch anymore. It was just her. Like, I was doing this for her. I needed to show up for her. Yeah. She's literally watching me. Like, and she's had a, I've never seen her gather herself like that either. You're so emotionally regulated. How'd you do that?
Teach me.
Yeah. But we actually went on stage. We forgot the dolls. They had to cut action. Like, it was a whole, it was actually chaos. But you would have never known when you watched the clip in the video.
Yeah.
And we tailored the pitch for Arlene Dickinson and Wes Hall. And I thought in our mind how we practiced behind the scenes, we're like, you may have to get them to come together.
Yeah.
I said, okay, so we had a strategy for that. I didn't have to do that. They literally came together on themselves. Their own. Like the whole dialogue, I was like, oh my goodness, all I had to do was show up today. And I thought they were going to refute my equity stake because who am I valuing my company at $1.7 million with less than $100,000 in revenue?
Girl, you have so much work you put into this.
And that's it. And that's, I think, a part of me is not knowing, like, you did the work. Mm-hmm. You're deserving of this, you know? And for me, the biggest win was not the money. It was I had the courage to get in there. And I did that. It was a dream that I remember. I literally can go back to the couch and I'm sitting there, like, 9 years old with my siblings, and I was just watching it. And I once said I would never be the one because I'm too shy. I was like, no, you did that. You did that. That was the biggest win for me. That was it. And having my daughter by my side.
Yeah.
That's it. No money could equate to that feeling that I had.
Yeah.
You couldn't give me. No, it was just
everything. Wow. Yeah. What an incredible moment. And I think what's really speaking to me through your stories is that we keep weaving and flashing back to a lot of these moments that you have sort of said, I wanted this, in whether a direct or indirect way, or, you know, some sort of like mental block that you had at the time. And like, that's like huge measurements of growth, you know, like if we're not setting like goals.
Yes.
At whatever point in time, it doesn't matter how long they take, eventually they come to fruition. And like your whole story is that, you know, and you sort of made really strong decisions along the way and really sat with them. And now to like think back, I used to sit and schedule and watch this TV show. Now I'm on
watching
it.
Myself.
I'm watching myself.
And I think it's just those little moments. It's just like when you talk about the going back to confidence building. It's like something that I was so scared of, I did it. That boosts my confidence a little bit.
Yes.
Something I was so scared of, I did it. Like that boosts. It's like I wouldn't say there's one way of building confidence. I think just doing, just being.
Yeah.
And then you slowly just find yourself and you see yourself and you're like, oh my goodness, I can do that, you know? And I'm still working through it.
Yeah. I mean, we're human. Yeah. We choose to even always grow. It's a choice, right? We could see something in front of us and decide, well, I'm not going to jump over that hurdle. Well, if you don't want to jump over it, crawl under it, go around it, like get a jet.
Yes.
Go in that jet over it.
Yes.
Whatever it is, like it doesn't have to be done in a standard way. And, you know, the little things go a long, long way.
Right.
Yeah.
And keep dreaming.
And your dreams have grown. And other people have allowed you to see that your dream could be so much larger. And and that's what it means to have like a really good supportive community around you. And I think that's super, super important.
Yes. Yeah. Because sometimes someone else will see your light before you see your light.
Yeah.
And that's why like the people around you mean a lot.
Yeah.
You got to build your little army, the people that you can lean on to and be your strength. And sometimes when there's nothing left in you know, you can lean on them.
Yeah. I mean, really choiceful about those people as well too. Right. Cause not everybody there is, is for the right reason.
Right.
And that's something like I've personally learned in the last few years. Like people are either there to celebrate you, to simply just watch, to tag along, to be hopefully pulled up at the same time. Mm-hmm. And those are all things, those are all part of like our growing journeys, knowing like who to trust as entrepreneurs, because when you go through really hard, dark times, you're usually alone. But if you have those one or two or three people around you, that they help bring that light back to you as well. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So this conversation is so inspiring to me in so many ways, because one, I think the number one thing I've learned from you is, you know, a failure truly isn't a failure, and don't be afraid to take that step back and pause and really sink into that pause and define who you are, because who you are is part of the business, but you and the business are two different things. I mean, I've taken a lot out of this, but if that's the one thing I took out of this, that was it, Anita.
Yeah.
That was it.
We're multifaceted beings.
We are.
And you're allowed to be all the things.
You are. You are on different days too.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as we sort of, you know, start to wrap up the podcast, what do you see next for Hello Hair? Like, what's something that our community listening to this episode can help support with Hello Hair in any way, whether it's, you know, getting your dolls? You know, I feel like the Hello Hair dolls, I know they have different names.
Yes.
But they're like the black version of the Bratz dolls. And how did it take so long
for us to...
How did it take so, you know, I don't know how it like crossed my mind, but I was just like, how did it actually take so long? Because me as someone who's always had natural hair, you know, I've always had a lot of hair. I've actually never worn extension, wigs, weaves, anything ever. I had a hard time learning to deal with my hair because obviously I've only ever had straight hair dolls or dolls with curly hair, but not ever like my hair.
Right.
And my mom did my hair until I was like 16, 17 years old. And so then...
Like, what happens when you pass it over to you?
What do I do? Like the arm strength I built?
The workout for that ponytail.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And so like a wash and go became my thing because that was the only thing that I could really manage through.
Exactly.
And it's still kind of my thing now, but I've learned how to like make sure my curls are defined better. But how did it take so long for us to go from the Bratz dolls to now the Hello Hair dolls? Why didn't we have that solution somewhere in the mix?
That's literally gonna be like my second slogan. I wish I had this as a kid.
Yeah.
I think every single vending event I've done or anybody I've met, the parents are saying, I wish I had this as a kid. Why didn't we? And some, like, it's such a simple concept. Sometimes like, there's nothing too fancy about what I'm doing. It's just like, it's a gap that everybody wishes we had. And I think there's this huge knowledge gap when it comes to textured hair, black hair. It's just, one, there's an expectation that we know. The reality is, like, our parents worshipped with this knowledge, right? There, a lot of them perm their hair to fit a certain standard of beauty. Cosmetology school still don't teach you about textured hair. Like, you have to do an additional certification or have a third party kind of come in there and teach. And then a lot of the education is like later in your life, right? But what about that very transitional age, like you were talking about, 16, when, like, you know, you take over the responsibility of hair care? There's actually nobody servicing this industry. And I just feel like when it comes to hair, it is greater than hair. And I wonder if they want us to know the power of our hair.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you can show up in your authentic self and like be confident in that, it translates in everything else in your life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I feel Like for me, it's not, it's so much further, so much more than just hair. It's like not mm-hmm. hair at all. Like to yeah. me, like the last thing is the hair part.
Correct.
It's like the history, the culture. It's the emotional well-being that comes through hair. It's the bonding experience. It's the storytelling. It's mm-hmm. the health that you need, the wellness and nutrients you put in your body. It all ties into your hair. You know what I mean? Like your health, your climate, your like the water.
Yes. Makes a huge yeah, difference.
Like these little things, but hair is like the entryway to so much more of yourself.
Yeah.
It requires you to think about all these things. If you don't have, if financially you're not able to buy the most expensive products, you're going to end mm-hmm. up using the weaker products, right? Yeah. Which aren't healthy for your hair. So yeah. it's like you think about all your whole life when you think about your hair. Mm-hmm. You think about all these environmental things when you think about your hair. It's not just hair, you yeah. know, but it's an entryway.
Yeah.
And it's a desire that many people, we want to learn about our hair, but we don't have that. Or if it's just a surface level lens. Mm-hmm. And something with Hello Hair, what I'm trying to teach is, yes, I'm going to equip you with the skills. I'm going to equip you with the knowledge, equip you with the doll, the resources to do it. But like the experience and the journey mm-hmm. of self is most important. The yeah. building up of you,
yeah.
your confidence, your self-esteem, mm-hmm. and how you can be an overflow
yeah.
through your hair.
And learning to love yourself from like that really pivotal very pivotal age.
And especially in today's space of social media and comparison, like yeah. we need it, you yeah. know? And I think the healing starts with us as the parents and the adults mm-hmm. so that we can pour in to yeah. the next generation.
Right? Yeah, because you can't tell them to do something when you're not doing it because, you know, do as I say and not as I do just does not work.
But you can be vulnerable in it.
Yeah.
Going back once again, my mentor, great people. When I first started the business, I was like still a straight natural mm-hmm. and I literally just weaved. And I was like, okay, could I still do this business if I'm still like not fully natural? Mm. And I literally almost did not launch Hello Hair until I became natural. And my mentor said, Anita, your story and your journey is what people are going to connect with, not yes. your final destination. Because mm-hmm. you could take all these years. And I'm thinking about if I waited like 3 years, because it would have taken about 3 years for me to really have the confidence for my natural hair. The amount of lives I've impacted in the last 3 years,
yeah.
I'd have done a disservice. Mm-hmm. I'd have done a disservice trying to wait until I reach there.
Yeah.
Sometimes being vulnerable in the journey is what they want.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, I'm still going through it. Mm-hmm. And that's the content you get from Hello Hair. It's very beginner level.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to know anything because I don't even know anything, but I'm going to bring an expert who can help us together. You know, yeah. you're not alone in this. And I think a part of that, being able to be vulnerable for mm-hmm. the first time in my life, is also why Hello Hair is where it's at.
Yeah.
Because we're genuinely going through the journey.
Yeah.
And we're doing it out loud with the whole community. We're all doing it together.
I love it. I love that you're doing it out loud because yeah. if you weren't, we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be on Forbes. You wouldn't be on Dragon's Den. Yes. You know, you wouldn't be
in this space right here.
Yeah, you we wouldn't be on the Buzzworthy podcast.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm so glad you're doing it out loud because, you know, hair is, even for me, hair is still such a big thing and depends on, you know, even certain business activities that I'm doing. It's just like, what do I do with my hair? And then I have to think about it 3 days before because I've got to go through all of this mm-hmm. and decide, am I going with big hair that's going to be distracting to my audience? Mm. Or am I going to go with hair that is, quote unquote, a bit more tamed and,
yeah,
I hate to use the word, appropriate. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There's so much more to hair than just itself. It has beauty standards. It yes. has societal expectations. Yes. It has all of these things attached to it. And I think specifically as Black women we've been bending our hair in so many ways over time and then eventually tried to stick to this one standard. But now mm-hmm. we can do every and everything. And yes. it's time to really embrace that
yes.
in every way.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to yeah. leave it here. Somebody said, when do you feel the most Black? And it's when I'm doing my hair. when I think of my Black identity, when I notice that I'm a Black woman.
Yeah.
I'm a Black man, is when it comes to the hair.
Yeah. You know what? That's the truest thing I've ever heard. It yes, really is. It's yes. The truest thing I've ever heard. And so as we start reflecting, I know we've been having such a good conversation, and I'm so grateful for that. I have three questions that I want to ask you. In your journey as an entrepreneur so far, what is one thing that you've absolutely want to leave in the past in your entrepreneurship journey? What's one thing? Just one word, or you can explain the word.
The feeling of undeserving, the feeling of why me? Like, sometimes I don't really know if I should be the one to experience this. Like, there's sometimes like I'm just Anita.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still that's what I'm still trying to figure out, like, why me, you know? And I don't think I have self-doubt, but I'm having a difficult time accepting, like, to give myself, like, really, like, credit, like, I did this.
Yeah.
Like, to actually be able to say it with confidence. I'm mm-hmm. still challenged apart. I can't take all the credit. I can't take, I know it's not, I'm not taking all the credit, but it's even still hard for me to, like.
Like, absorb it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's ask me next week. It's you know what, this podcast is just so timely, because in the last 2 weeks this is something that I've genuinely been going through. It's something that I'm really working through. It's like everybody around me can be like, yeah, Anita, you created this, you did this, you're doing phenomenal work, and I'm like, I'm just here. Yeah. You know, it's hard for me to really celebrate it. And really, like, know that I'm deserving of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Well, you are deserving of it.
Thank you.
You've done the work in so many ways throughout your life. That's ultimately led you up to this. And this is how we started the podcast, is all the experiences that we didn't know that would lead us in exactly the right place. And I think even in your thought of thinking, am I deserving of this, mm-hmm. is a place of, you know, that there's so much gratefulness in this, because you realize how big what you have built and created with mm-hmm. the community and the people around you is. Yeah.
This is real.
So that's, yeah. No, I think that's a really good one to leave behind.
Yeah.
Is feeling undeserving. Mm-hmm. I really like that one. Mm-hmm. What is one thing you have learned?
I learned a lot. But the biggest lesson?
Mm-hmm.
I think, as we said, all this stuff is an extension of you. It's not you.
Mm.
And I think there's this big narrative, like, you have to be the face of your brand, and you got to do this, you have to, but I feel part of it puts you in a box.
Yeah.
When you think this is all you can be, right? Like, I'm a mother, I'm a founder, I'm a wife, I'm a friend, I'm a sister, you know, in how they experience me is all different.
Yeah.
And I think before the old business, I was just Fleeky. I was just a founder. There was nothing else.
Yeah.
Whereas I've allowed myself to be all the things. Mm-hmm. I say I'm very multifaceted. I hate doing bios because go on forever, really. I'm a lot of things. But like, a bio puts you into that box. So I would say never limit yourself. Don't put yourself in that box. And just allow yourself to be all those, that multifaceted. There are many intersectionalities about you. And mm-hmm. you're okay to be able to experience and be all those things.
Yeah.
Don't fit yourself to a label or a title.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Because it will confine you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you never want to be confounded.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh. So such good things coming out of you. And finally, what is one thing you're absolutely taking into the future for yourself mm-hmm. as Anita and for Hello Hair?
I'm taking me. I'm taking, I am enough as is. Ah. I'm not full, even if I'm not, there's flaws, you know. Giving myself grace. Those imperfections is what make me, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm taking in Anita as she is, where she is. And that's enough.
Yeah. What a powerful way to end this podcast. I am so grateful that you sat here with me in the studio for so long, with all the bloopers we had at the beginning, to have such an incredible conversation. And it really warms my heart to sit with you and hear your story and see the growth in you and see the confidence that is exuding from you in so many ways. And I wish absolutely nothing but incredible success for you in the future. And we know Hello Hair is going to take over the hair sphere. And we are going to know Hello Hair, and we're going to know Anita Grant as two different people, but one that built another.
Amen.
I love that. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for creating the safe space. This felt like therapy. This felt good.
I love that.
I feel like I can be myself here. So thank you, and continue to create spaces for others to be able to share their stories, because we deserve the platform to be able to do it. And I think it'll inspire others. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. You can find Hello Hair at
Hello Hair Book on Instagram and Hello Hair on TikTok.
Amazing. Everything will be down in the chats where you can buy your dolls, buy your books, sign up for workshops.
Yes.
Everything you can possibly do to support Hello Hair and Anita Grant as she continues to build Hello Hair. So thank you again, and stay tuned for our next episode. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We're so glad to have you as part of our Buzzworthy community as we grow our network of Buzzworthy businesses. Continue to follow us on all the social media platforms at Buzzworthy_pod and follow us on whatever platform you're listening to so that you can get the new episodes as soon as they're out. This Buzzworthy podcast could not be done without our incredible team, starting with our music by Khaled Imam, our video and sound engineer, James Clark, Yvette Robichaud, our social media manager, Cesar Cardenia, our brand and creative lead, and finally, your host and executive producer, Shalacy Harris. We'll see you next week.